What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This is Pop Culture Confidential, and I'm Christina Yerling Biru. Ciao, everyone. Thanks so much for joining me as we head over to the Italian Riviera, the coast of Liguria. Almost quite literally, as my guests, director and producer of the new film Luca, Enrico Casarosa and Andrea Warren, talk to me from a terrace overlooking Portofino with church bells ringing and the waves gently rolling in the background. I, unfortunately, am not on that terrace. I'm still here in my little studio. But until we all can get there, Pixar's new animated movie Luca is as wonderfully and beautifully close you can get. You can almost smell the Ligurian Sea and see the immaculate animation of the typical pink, orange, and red houses of the region, and taste that pesto. Luca borrows a lot from director Casarosa's own childhood, who was born and raised in Genoa. The film is about two boys whose secret identity is actually sea monsters, and they're having a wonderful summer together in a small village called Porto Rosso. The film is about feeling different and finding your true identity, the power of friendship, and the magic of summer.
Scopa!
We can go anywhere, do anything. We just gotta stick together.
We underdogs have to look out for each other, right?
Underdogs!
Tu sei l'amore.
This is gonna be the best summer ever.
Amore. Io sono felice.
We'll ride down every road.
Accanto a te.
See the whole world together.
Sera.
It'll be amazing. But there's just one thing.
Whoa. Whoa, 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 wait! Did you see that?
No one can find out.
Please don't take my sunshine away.
Where did you boys say you were from?
Luca director Enrico Casarosa worked in the art department at Pixar on films including Ratatouille, Up, and Coco. He directed the Oscar-nominated short La Luna, and with this, Luca, his directorial feature debut at Pixar, he really got to go home. Producer Andrea Warren worked on Finding Nemo as a digital painter. She was production manager on WALL-E and produced the short film Lava. In our brief time together, we talked about the themes of friendship and coming of age in Luca, how difficult it is to animate pasta, and the Pixar cultural trust, and how they helped to get those Italian hand gestures just right. Listeners, when we get to talking about that, the gesture that I'm referring to is the buono gesture that kids often use to say that a meal was delicious. It's literally poking your index finger into your cheek. You can watch when we talk about this on our Instagram, at Pop Culture Confidential. I started by asking Enrico Casarosa about the special meaning this film has for him and what he wanted to show visually from the region where he grew up and spent his childhood summers.
I, of course, this love letter to the specialness of Cinque Terre. This land is so special because there's the sea and there's the mountains. There's really not a whole lot of room very often, and especially in the Cinque Terre. I always like to say, actually, they look like the towns are hanging on for dear life. They just crawled out of the sea and they're hanging for dear life on the rocks, right? So that might not have been too far from where the idea of what if there's some sea monsters here. But it's so special. the terraces, the centuries of work, there's something very inspiring even on a human level. We have so many beautiful, you know, between flavors, the vineyards, the pesto, the basil, the lemons, the olive oil, right? It's just a really beautiful land. I grew up as a little fish every summer, so I really wanted to convey the beauty of the water and those deep greens and blues that are different because it goes deep. So those were, you know, where I started, just because it's so beautiful and stuck in time. Also, these towns do look almost out of a fable because they just, you know, haven't changed a whole lot. Out of, you know, there's nowhere to develop anyway, right? And that was really at the core of it. But I wanted to also do it in a way that was very expressionistic and very painterly. So we brought a lot of, we called it the hand of the artist, because it's really just fun to see the imperfections and the watercolory feel. So we got a lot of inspiration from actually painted and 2D artwork.
Now, Andrea, my listeners, they know quite, because I got the pleasure of talking to Pete Docter a while back about the Pixar Cultural Trust, and I saw that there is one here as well. Can you talk a little bit about what they did for this film?
Absolutely. Obviously, Enrico is Italian, so with us, that's, you know, for this film, that starts there. But I think, you know, we didn't want the burden of making sure that we got the representation right to rest only with Enrico. And so we hired consultants to help us with getting Italian language into the film in an appropriate way, you know, finding ways that it still makes sense, but that we can represent the culture that way. We wanted to, you know, we're basing this on Enrico's memories, but we wanted to hear other people's memories, other people's impressions, so that we could kind of have a bit of a mix, so that we could really cover the feeling as much as possible. So yeah, I think it's always important to do the research, to talk to other people. We sent teams, you know, now that we're here, I can say over here, to Italy to observe the place, to feel the place. We sent our, you know, directors of photography in terms of camera and lighting, you know, to observe how steep it is and how to get the lighting right and how to get the texture just right on the stucco. So there's a lot of aspects to it, visual, the script, and just the memories and the fun that we wanted to capture of Italy.
Yeah. One of the things you did is you sent key people over several times to test the food, which seems like a god-awful job,
it's
and
horrible.
I'm volunteer anytime.
Okay, good to know. Good to know.
But Enrico, I've talked to many animators about water, which you have beautifully in this movie, but let's talk about that food. The pesto looks amazing. What is the process of actually animating that type of thing?
Yeah, it's really... having them having had the feeling of it and having tasted it probably helps everybody involved, because I think they can express it, you know, joking aside. I think that is a key part. And yeah, it is the best part of the job. But then the next part, you know, in art, we just find, you know, the look. So we look at a lot of reference. We're very specific. For me, the important things were like, well, this is not going to be just pesto. It's going to be traditional style. So we put string beans and potatoes, mm-hmm. which is actually the traditional recipe. Those little touches for me are key. And then, you know, the beautiful little basil, they did such a beautiful job at making that nice and shiny. So I think that part number one was just finding the specifics and designing it. And then actually the final look is actually very challenging, because we need to simulate the noodles. The noodles are actually so complicated that we have a technical department that usually deal with effects and are dealing with difficult splashes and water, right? Everything that is a special effect. The pasta is a special effect. So they actually have to simulate it. To make it real, they have to let it fall as a simulation into the plate. So it's actually quite painstaking to make it look right. But what was wonderful then, it looked tasty, right? The beautiful green, they got just right. But then we could also simulate this messy, wonderful dinner that they have to express how much the boys enjoy it, right? I feel in filmmaking, so much of the fun is how our characters react to something, so to they convey the feeling of something. So it was so much fun
Looks
to
delicious.
Have these noodles fly all over the place.
Now, with so many great Pixar films, Luca can be a wonderful point of identification for so many people, for a queer kid, for a minority, anyone who really feels outside. Enrico, what was important for you in that message?
Well, I think you just put it so well. That is my biggest hope, that the viewer can come in and project their own sense of difficulty and difference that they have dealt with in their own younger life, when they needed to that little push toward confidence, toward showing all of yourself. I'm so happy that really became a part of the DNA. I started with that experience of me and my friend feeling like goofy losers, and that was our own version of it. We were nerdy and so
like many of us,
right? So I mean, in the grand scheme of things, I think we were quite lucky, but that was our way. But that feeling is real, and it's this thing that I'm sure it must be so amplified for many people with more diverse, identities. So I'm really happy that's part of it. I also love that we have a protagonist that's curious, mm-hmm. and wants to know. So, because I keep on thinking about if we're afraid of something, if we feel there's something that is other, curiosity to me seems like the perfect antidote to not mm-hmm. allow for barriers to come up, for too much fear to come up. So. I didn't know it would go so far as a metaphor at the beginning, but it's so lovely that you felt
the
that
fish
way.
Out of water. Yeah, very much so. Andrea, you said something very poignant. I read, and I'm just paraphrasing, but you said that those very years of coming of age that we all hope that we can look back on ourselves with empathy. Mm. Pixar is so good at just that, at looking back at our childhoods. How do you do that? It's like an office philosophy of being able to see, take the best parts of your childhood and see that with empathy.
Look, I mean, I'm a mother now. I think growing up is hard. And I think with that adult perspective, you know, we all carry those feelings of insecurity. It's amazing how palpable they are. I mean, I still remember a time I tripped on the stairs in junior high and someone laughed. I mean, you know, like of all the memories that I have, like that one is just visceral. I mean, we all have our own little moments and versions of that. And I think you carry that feeling so much, but I think as an adult, you finally can look back and just kind of have this tenderness for that kid who is growing up and trying to figure it out and just recognizing, you know, that's hard. And I try to remember that with my own kids, you know, to remember the empathy of just being tired and having a hard day at school, and that's a hard day. You know, like as an adult, you can feel like it's just school, come on, move, you know, but in that moment, trying to have the empathy for that, I think is important.
I love that. I also, it makes me think a bit about how much our goofiness and the things sometimes we're afraid of is then what becomes, what makes us different, what's interesting about us, right? Yeah. Like, so having some love for, you know, this either silliness that we thought was making us so bizarre and people laughed at us, well, actually, that becomes part of your life and you can embrace it.
And part of how you connect.
And to keep that innocence.
Yeah, yeah. And part of how you connect, how you find your tribe. Yeah. Is if you are authentic and you show that part of you and they show that part of them, that's where that real true connection comes from.
Now, Enrico, I understand that you have two very different inspirations. I read Stand By Me and Hayao Miyazaki.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about how they've inspired you.
Yeah, and we could put probably Fellini in the middle of those two, maybe.
Of course.
Yeah.
And Topo Gigio.
Yeah, oh, that's great. Yeah, Topo Gigio is a good one. Well, yeah, like I just feel what's lovely about Stand By Me, and I think I brought up a lot, Breaking Away, which is another wonderful American movie that really delves with this kind of friendships and growing up. It really delved into this same topic of like, what is it about those friendship in that age that is so important and key to finding ourselves? That was what I got really about Stand By Me. And also this sense of beautiful soundtrack, right? That the songs become part of these kind of summer movies. That's something I also wanted to do with this, right? That the radio's on in the summer and you hear those beautiful songs.
Two Mina songs you had.
Not too bad. Yeah, we're so happy about that. And so there's that. And then this very different inspiration. I think it's a bit in my DNA. I grew up with his cartoons here in Italy. We watched a lot of them. I was watching his TV series before his movies in Hayao Miyazaki, and just love for the world of kids. Again, right, that he really has this sense of wonder with kids and the way they look at the world. I feel in his movies, you become a kid again. And that is such a gift. I feel that is so worth chasing. And also this lovely, attentive look at nature and the details in nature. That was the other thing that I absolutely loved that I wanted to bring it into Luca.
So I have one more minute. I have to ask you about the hand gestures that you use. Did you use, my son uses this one when he thinks something's good, which
That is a good one. We should have used it. Yeah, I mean, it goes back to the cultural trust, actually, this question. Yeah. Because that was one of those things that I was like, well, I remember this. I would do this. And then I was like, well, I can't trust that. Because also, they become very, very subjective and even depends where you're from. And you get a little bit of the color here with the bell. Sorry, like in the movie. But so we had this wonderful symposium with our colleagues in Italy. So they were part of our cultural trust. And it was so fun to have them all give us their takes on certain gestures. Tell us the ones that feel too stereotypical or too used, right? Yeah, that was one we talked a lot.
Yeah.
Or how you would use it. One of our favorites, Julia, says, Julia, my name is Julia.
She does a little of this, yeah.
Which is like, you know, you got it wrong. Be precise. So it was such a wonderful day. We got such inspiration. Everybody had their own gesture of sending someone to hell, which became a little bit, what's wrong with you, stupido? It was so fun. We still watch the video, and it makes us laugh. Because on a Zoom call, there's like 20 of people doing things like that.
So which is your favorite?
I think the Julia one stands out as a lovely, lovely, very... very precise.
It's such a good character moment for her. You get such a sense of her from that moment.
My name is Julia. Yeah. Don't mess with that.
Yeah, like, don't get that wrong.
Yeah. Thank you so much. They're asking me to wrap up. Thank you. Have a wonderful time.
You too.
Yay. Bye. Ciao. Nice to meet you. Ciao.
Abbronzate tutte chiazze, pelli rosse un po' paonazze, son le ragazze che prendono il sole, ma ce n'è una la luna, tintarella di luna, tintarella tu la te, tutta notte stai sul letto, sopra il letto come i gatti, e se c'è la luna piena, tu diventi candida, tintarella di luna.
Hello, and welcome to Guilty Greenie. I feel like we should start off this show by saying it's nearly impossible to be 100% sustainable given the current world we live in.
How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Not a great analogy for a vegetarian,
We're talking about sustainability, maybe not the best analogy.
Don't eat the elephant is the first rule of the Guilty Greenie.
There's your first challenge of the week. Avoid elephants. What they used to call frugal is now considered sustainable.
That's such an aha moment. Frugal to sustainable.
You can save money and help the planet. That's going to be our new
tagline for sure.
Yeah, you can find Guilty Greenie on Apple Podcasts or whichever podcast platform you prefer. And join us in tackling the Guilty Greenie challenges. Until then, stay curiously green.